There's a priest who was preaching on today's gospel, and he asked the people, what if this were your last Mass that you ever attended in this life? And what if this were the last homily that you'd ever listened to? You know, how would it affect you? You know, how closely might you listen to that? And he said it was one of the most impactful homilies that he ever gave, not necessarily because of his words, but because at the beginning of the collection, as the ushers were coming forward, one of them genuflected in front of the altar, and he collapsed and he died. That was his last Mass in this life. Hopefully he's at the eternal Mass in the glory of heaven, we hope, but that was the last homily that he ever heard. So it definitely made an impact on the people who were listening. And the priest said the lines for confession were pretty long that night. So hopefully that won't happen today with our ushers. We love our ushers, so we hope that no one collapses here today. But I think it's an interesting perspective and something for us to think about. If we were to leave this world today, if at midnight today we were finished in this world and passed into the next, and we're standing before the throne of Christ with every action and every intention of our heart revealed, would we be ready? And would we be found rich in what matters to God? Or would we have spent our time and our effort storing up treasures for ourselves? So I think it's an interesting question to think about. So what is it that is going to have no meaning in eternity? What are some of the things that people spend their lives accumulating and focusing on which really don't matter much in the grand scheme of things? Well, the first thing which is highlighted in our first reading and in our gospel is worldly possessions and wealth. Obviously, you can't take them where you're going. In our first reading, talks about how it's vanity to spend all this time storing up riches for yourselves when someone else is going to enjoy them. You know, how often do people worry about their bank accounts or spend all sorts of time trying to calculate and make sure they have enough money for their retirement, that they have nice homes, and they spend a lot of time and effort? But what if we were to exit this world this very night? None of that would matter. It all would have been a waste. And something else that people spend a whole lot of time and effort on, it's a false god in our country, and that's sports. You know, how many of our young people have had their souls destroyed because they've so passionately idolized sports at the expense of negligence towards their relationship to God? You know, a lot of young people don't go to church anymore, don't pray, because they're spending all their time, you know, focusing on sports. And in many cases, the parents support that idolatry. You know, the idol doesn't have to be a false god like Zeus. It can be something else. I have a lot of friends and classmates when I was going through high school. And they spent a lot of time in the gym. Some of them were trying to bulk up for football, or others just did weightlifting. And you know what happens when they get to college? They stop working out. It all turns to fat. Every bit of it. You can be the best athlete in the world. You can be a phenomenal athlete in your prime when you're 18. But guess what? When you're 38, when you're 48, you're not going to be making any headlines. That's fleeting. And what happens to young people who spend their whole lives idolizing and preparing for these sports? Well, if our lives were to end tonight, it wouldn't matter at all. All that time would have been time wasted. Some people spend a heck of a lot of time seeking out their own entertainment, or they seek out physical pleasure. Sometimes even falling into traps of sin to find the pleasure that they're seeking. And yet all of that just gives us momentary happiness, and the moment that it's over, we're not at peace anymore. It's fleeting. It doesn't give us ultimate peace and happiness. And if our lives were to be called, or asked of us at the end of this day, all that time and entertainment, seeking pleasure, it wouldn't mean anything. It would have no value when we stand before Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of these things are important in the sense that we need to be responsible with our resources so we can provide for our family. That's an act of love. And sports can, it's important to take care of our bodies, and they can teach some valuable lessons. And entertainment, every once in a while, we do need some relaxation, and we need time to recharge. But the problem comes in when we take what should be secondary and make it primary. And what should be primary gets pushed off to the side or forgotten about altogether. And that's where we run into problems. So what is it that matters to God? If all these things are a waste of time and we shouldn't be focusing on them, with that much emphasis? What really matters to God? St. Paul says, seek the things that are above. Well, what are the things that are above? A life of virtue. What is virtue? Virtue are good habits, deeply rooted habits of doing good so that the goodness of God is reflected through our actions. You know, the opposite of virtue would be a vice, which is a bad habit. Virtues, by practicing virtues and by developing good habits, that's how we become good people, and that's how we become pleasing to God. And so what are some examples of virtues that we might want to be focusing on? First, the virtue of fidelity. Fidelity in prayer. If we love God, we should seek to commune with Him every day. We should look forward to that time of prayer, whether it's 15 minutes or half an hour a day that we set aside to commune with God and to seek and to try to learn about Him more deeply. We should be faithful to that. We should be faithful to the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church is the church that Jesus Christ founded. No matter what happens, we should never leave the Catholic Church. We should live and die as faithful members of the Catholic Church. And not only going through the motions of being a member of the church, but being faithful to the teachings of the church. That means accepting all of the teachings that Christ has given us through the church, and not picking and choosing which teachings we're going to live by and which teachings we're just going to reject. Fidelity matters to God. Humility. Recognizing that everything that we have, all of our gifts, all of our abilities, none of them come from ourselves. God has given us everything we have and everything we are. And so we shouldn't seek our own glory. The glory should go to God. He's the one who's given us everything that we have. So humility is founded in truth, the realization that God is God and we're not. Someone who is appreciative of being corrected and who isn't resentful. You know, that's someone who's humble. Sometimes we get resentful if someone corrects us. Well, if they're in the right, we should thank them. That's an attitude of humility. Virtue like being merciful, seeking to alleviate the pain and suffering of others, whether that's physical, in giving money to Vincent de Paul or providing for the physical needs of people, or whether it's spiritual, forgiving the wrongs that people have done against us, even if those have been very painful, in instructing the ignorant, teaching people about Christ who have never found Him, seeking to lead lost souls to Christ. That's an act of mercy. Purity, seeing beyond physical appearance and seeing other people as they truly are, seeing the whole person, you know, the way that God sees them, rather than just focusing on the physical appearance. Other virtues like self-control, generosity, kindness, courage. All of these are virtues that make us pleasing to God. Now, virtues can always be strengthened or weakened. We can never just sit there with like a checklist and say, oh yeah, I'm generous, I don't have to worry about that anymore. I'm faithful, got that one down, I'm good for life. You know, we can't do that. You know, we're either increasing in virtue or we're regressing. And so I think it's important for us constantly to be seeking to grow in virtue, so that if today were our last day, we would be found rich in what matters to God, and we wouldn't have squandered our time here on earth. And so what I encourage you to do is to be intentional about growth in virtue. You know, for retirement, when people plan for retirement, they say, how much money do I have now? How much money do I need when I retire? How much do I need to contribute each year? How much of my rate of return am I getting on my portfolio? What's the level of risk? People sit there and they plan it out very carefully. Or with athletics, people will plan their training plan. What do we do for preseason? When we get closer, how do we change our training plan? What are the drills that we need to do to improve our weaknesses? We have coaches that sit there and develop these training plans in order to build up good athletes. I think we need to be intentional about how we do that with our lives of virtue. So my homework assignment that I'm going to give you, yeah, there is homework. I encourage you to look at your spiritual life and develop a training plan, if you don't have one already, to be intentional about growth in virtue. And it helps to focus on one virtue at a time. And if you want to focus on generosity, what are you going to do in the next 14 days on a daily basis to practice generosity? If it's fidelity in prayer, make a commitment of what you're going to do each day for the next 2 weeks or for the next month in order to build that virtue. And going to the sacraments more often. What are you doing personally to grow in virtue. I think we have to be intentional about that. If we can do it for sports and if we can do it for our retirement savings, then it's certainly important for us to do that in preparing ourselves in terms of virtue so that when we stand before Christ one day, we're found rich in the things that matter to God.